And also, you get sold a whole bunch of ideas in about saving that is like, you only need to save for retirement. You should max out your thrift savings plan. You should open an IRA and save even more. And that's just wrong. That doesn't work, right? If I tell you to save half your paycheck for when you're 60, you're just going to walk away from me. And I would walk away from myself, too. Welcome to Service and Wealth, the podcast dedicated to helping military personnel master their finances and achieve financial freedom. Our mission is to guide you through the ins and outs of planning, saving, and investing. And most importantly, how to balance savings so you can enjoy life now and retire with confidence. Welcome back. This is week two of the Service and Wealth podcast. I'm your host, Ted Ehlert. And, you know, one of the things I noticed is the first week was really focused on like, okay, how do I get this right? How do I do that? Should I go back and re-edit this? Oh, does that sound right? And, you know, if you're listening to it, to our first podcast, right, there's a few different times when I did go back and chop some stuff out and try to make some edits. And I'm sure I didn't like do a good job making that secret, right? like I said, getting over the tech part is a big hurdle, and it's part of the reason why, you know, when you start out something new and start out, you know, podcasting, that's a thing that makes you kind of anxious and nervous and gets in the way of you just kind of going, finding your flow. And it's the same thing with investing in finances, right? And that's one of the big motivations for creating the Military Wealth Coach and doing these podcast episodes and the blog posts and social media posts and everything else that we're doing is to try to push out information that is simplifying so that as you're beginning your young life and, you know, or maybe you're already a few years into it, maybe you're tuning in and you're in your early 30s or maybe even a little older, you know, the fact of the matter is when people do studies, they do surveys of how well people understand finance. And the average American, you know, barely passes the test. And an average military member, service member, you know, back the most recent one was only getting like a 57%, right? Like just straight up bombing the personal finance test. So there's not a lot of good knowledge out there. There's not a lot of good information. And, you know, one of the things I said kind of my intro, you know, last week was like, this is going to be lo-fi because I don't know what I'm doing. And then I kind of like overthought it and over-engineered it. And so I'm just trying to go back lo-fi and one shot, one kill on this. We're going to go straight through and see how it goes, right? The other thing I noticed, and I had said in the intro again, like, if you get nothing out of this about finance, at least you hopefully get a good chuckle at my expense. And, you know, when I went back and listened to myself, I was like, oh, who is this? I call myself a finance nerd. But I was like, who's this dork? You know, he sounds ridiculous. And then I compared myself to like other podcasts that I listened to, you know, Bigger Pockets and things like that. And well, they all sound really cool. And then I realized I'm listening to those podcasts on 2x speed. And I was listening to myself at 1x. So if you had the same reaction, you're like, man, this military wealth coach guy is kind of like needs to work on his stage presence and like his presentation voice. Just turn up the speed on your podcast, right? Like go 1.5x, maybe even 2x. And that will definitely make me sound more interesting and maybe even smarter, right? So to get into the content for this week, you know, last week we talked about four sort of unconventional tips for helping you to get started in your wealth building journey. And, you know, I say wealth building journey all the time, and you have to realize like that includes the first phase, which is knocking out your short-term debt, your high interest debt, your consumer credit debt, like what we're talking about are auto loans, credit cards, payday loans. those things just drain the funds out of your life. And so, you know, if you think about it, if you have like a $1,000 credit card bill that you're paying in installments over the course of a year, you're going to pay probably about $1,700, right? And you think, oh, phew, I paid off my credit card. But in the process, you paid off the credit card, but you also gave the credit card company $700 of profit. You know, and that's where they make their money is the interest. They make their money every time you swipe the card, because every time you swipe it, there's a 2.5% usually charge that's built into the price you're already paying. But then they make mega profits on, you know, I think it's like $14.5 trillion worth of consumer credit or consumer debt in America right now. You know, like people just racking up credit card debt and auto loans and payday loans and making banks and credit card companies rich. And so you've got to knock that down first. That's the first step. And then the next part, you start saving and you do some basics of savings. And then you eventually find yourself taking off on this flight path for building wealth. And, you know, that's what we model at as in the different coaching packages that we sell. Like in each one, you're going to get some sort of financial plan to take you to your goals for however many years out you want to look. And when it comes to those long-term wealth building projects or plans, we call them flight paths, right? Because you gotta start hitting certain checkpoints in terms of dollars saved and invested at certain ages. And that's really, you know, that's like the first step in demystifying finance, is just realizing, like, in order to retire or maybe retire early, you know, when you retire, that's financial freedom, right? And so for some reason, we call it retirement if you're 62 or older, and we call it financial freedom if you're under 60. But in any case, like, it's the same thing, right? You're retiring because you don't need to work anymore because you have enough money. And so that's where it all starts, is, you know, there's a target number that you want to save to, and there's a certain number of years between where you are right now and when you want to have it. And so if you start saving when you're 20, you know, you can do a slow drip and save, you know, $50 to $75 a week for the next 45 years, and you'll be a multimillionaire. But that's like the easiest, laziest way to do it. You know, if you're 20 and you want to save, you know, $500 a week, you know, now you're someone who's going to be on the path to financial freedom in your 40s. It may sound hard at the start. It may feel uncomfortable because your friends are all going out to lunch at the exchange every day and ordering DoorDash or Five Guys, you know, three nights a week and buying everything new under the sun that they can get for their car. And you're kind of like hooking rides from them, or maybe you've got like an electric scooter or whatever that you use to get from point A to point B. But in the back end, you know, you bought 25 years of freedom for yourself. But our philosophy is that this is not all about retirement. Okay. And that's what's really important, because if you only are trying to save for retirement, and if that was the only thing that, like, I was trying to convince you to do, you wouldn't even start, right? Because it's too far away. It's 30 years, 40 years, maybe longer until retirement. And you've got a life to live. You have stuff you want to do. You've got hobbies. You may have a family already, or you may just be out there in the dating scene, and all that stuff costs money. And when you're in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, like, you've got energy and you've got time and you've got, you know, a lot of stuff you want to do. And so you want to have wealth then as well. And that's really what distinguishes the way that we teach personal financial management or budgeting at the Military Wealth Coach. You know, we're coming up close. Maybe in the next 2 weeks, we'll have our first mini course, about a three or four hour online course that you can take. And we're probably going to make that available for free. So, you know, if you're interested in that, you should definitely head over to our website, militarywealthcoach.com, and you can contact us directly, like send us an email and say, hey, add me to your mailing list for the mini course. Or you can, you know, find us on Instagram or TikTok at MWC112. 2358, you know, and DM us there. Or you can just go on Facebook and you can search for Military Wealth Coach, and we've got a page there, and you can follow us, like that page, follow us there, and, you know, message or post and just say like, hey, I'm interested, sign me up. I want to get that mini course when it comes out. And when you take that, or, you know, even today, what we're going to show you is, or talk about is just how different our approach is. You know, we look at like what the wealthy people in this country do. And we model everything after them, but because we're not making, you know, $500,000 a year, $250,000 a year in the military, we just scale it all down. Right. And so, you know, if you're making $500,000 a year, you're going to pay half of that in taxes anyway. So, the same with 250, right? So, they don't have a huge advantage, but they obviously have a pretty big one. But the problem is you're kind of being sold in the usual financial advice or financial planning, that you see is you're basically being sold like save your emergency savings fund. And they give you this, you know, totally inappropriate for the military, 3 to 6 months income guidance, right? Like, the only reason why the 3 to 6 months income, you know, savings plan for your emergency savings exists is if you could get fired tomorrow and you couldn't get a job for 3 to 6 months, then you would need all that income to replace your salary. But you're in the military, right? You're not, if you're a sergeant and you have a $6,000 Honda Accord that you drive and you know, are renting a room for $500 a month from a buddy, so you don't own real estate, and you don't have a family, you don't need 6 months worth of your paycheck set aside in cash for emergencies. You just need like maybe, you know, $8,000, enough to buy a new Accord when this one dies, you know, or to get a new phone if you lose yours. So there's just like a lot of a guidance that creeps its way into the military that says you should do this, but that's what civilians need to worry about. And also, you get sold a whole bunch of ideas about saving that is like, you only need to save for retirement. You should max out your thrift savings plan. You should open an IRA and save even more. And that's just wrong. That doesn't work, right? If I tell you to save half your paycheck for when you're 60, you're just going to walk away from me. And I would walk away from myself too. In fact, I walked away from just about everybody who kept telling me, you know, that's what I should be doing. And that's how I came up with, you know, our flight path and our iCash budgeting system, which is basically like pick out all the goals that you want to save for and then put the correct amounts of money each month towards each of those goals. And if you do that, you know, you're going to save enough cash in 5 years to replace your car. Every 5 years, you'll be able to get a new car every 5 years, maybe faster, depending on how important the car is to you and how aggressively you save. And, you know, within 5 to 10 years, you'll have enough cash to buy a really nice house. Or maybe you can go, you know, flip that and you want to buy a new house every PCS cycle, right? And by the time you've been in the Marine Corps or the Army or the Navy or the Air Force or even the Coast Guard, you know, and I just say even the Coast Guard because I always picture you guys living on boats, but I realize, like, you do have a port of call, so you do need a house, right? you know, you could serve 20 years and you could own 6 to 7 properties, have $2 to $3 million worth of real estate, and, you know, be grossing $10,000 or $20,000 a month in rent, maybe more, right? So maybe that's one of the things you're into accomplishing. And then way down the road, you want to have retirement savings, but there's all this other stuff in between. And so, you know, that's what we really find is broken in the majority of financial planning and almost all of the sort of water cooler or scuttlebutt, you know, amateur financial advice that you get around the military. It's just all recycled, and it doesn't really take into account what matters and ask you that question first, like what matters to you. And so, you know, this week what we're going to do, we're talking about going from the last week when we talked about 4 unconventional tactics for savings, where it's all about picking the right amount and then balancing between retirement and non-retirement. Today we're going to build off of that part in particular, which is the military savings order of operations. You know, I don't mean like an operation order, but order of operations. And, you know, there's no good like gimmick or slogan or jingle for it. But what I'm talking about is, you know, you should know this. If you're in the military and you don't know this, like, don't raise your hand, don't admit it. But a real basic one is like tap, rack, bang, right? The immediate action for a misfire on your service weapon. Tap, rack, bang. They teach you that when you come in. And hopefully you, in times of stress, like in combat, or maybe you're just like nervous about shooting a weapon at the rifle range to qualify, when something goes wrong and you kind of freeze, like your brain kind of immediately goes, oh no, wait, tap, rack, bang. And that's the value of having a savings order of operations that you can go off of. Because then when you're getting a paycheck or you get a raise, you get a bonus, you finally qualify for, you know, flight pay incentive or whatever the case, sub pay, you know, whatever the case may be, you don't want to have to like go all the way back to the start and like figure it out. You just want to have this sort of basic go-to plan and know like, okay, I put the money here, and then once I get to this point, I move it to here. And there's two different ways that it's kind of been visualized that you might have seen it or heard about it. And one is a waterfall. And so you imagine like all your money's coming in the river at the top of the waterfall. And then as it comes over the crest and starts to fall down, the first level, the water at the top of the waterfall is for one kind of savings. And then the farther down the waterfall, it goes into other savings. And, you know, the other way to that people kind of like present it or talk about it is savings buckets, which kind of works hand in hand. You know, they're both about water and water falling. But it's the same principle. Like you have the one bucket that's high up and your income's coming in. And once that bucket's full, then your income or the water spills over and that falls into the next bucket down and fills that one up and fills it the next one down and so on and so forth. And that's how you just manage your savings. And the first two at the very top, the first bucket that you fill is your emergency savings, right? Because as we wrote about in a blog post a little over a week ago, and we'll talk about soon in a podcast again, emergency savings is not just to pay for the emergency, financial emergency, it's to keep you out of debt. Right. If you are constantly going into debt for little things, you never have the extra money to save for anything else. Like we gave the example, if you have a $1,000 credit card bill and you pay interest on it and do minimum payments for a year, you could pay $1,700. Well, now you just robbed yourself of $700 of additional money that you could have saved. So the emergency savings is at the very top. And then below that, the very next one is your first retirement savings bucket. And that's because someday you definitely won't be able to work. And so you need to have retirement savings. And you need to have a good amount. Like we said last week, you know, $2.5 million is going to be the minimum for any of us who are, you know, millennials or Gen Zers, who are talking about hitting retirement in the next 20 to 40 years. $2.5 million is like your minimum just to have like a good middle class or upper middle class retirement. You can get by with less, but you're going to be living more on like the working class, which is not, I'm not dissing that. I'm just saying like when it comes to the things that you probably picture yourself having in retirement, like a nice house and a nice car and like taking trips and maybe like a beach house or a ski lodge that you timeshare, people who have a working class income can't afford all that. And increasingly people on working class income can't even afford to keep their homes in retirement because they still have to pay property taxes. And so you have people who are living on $40,000 to $50,000 a year being taxed $10,000 to $15,000on the house they own. And so they end up losing the house too. So just, it's not a practical goal, right? You're going to have difficulty in retirement. So anyway, if you've ever seen the savings waterfall, that is available from just about anywhere. Just Google it right now, Savings Waterfall, and you're going to see it's going to come up under, you know, a dozen different finance blogs. You will find it if you go, if you're on Instagram, you're going to find hundreds of posts on it. You're going to find websites from Schwab and Fidelity and all, you know, and they're going to show you basically the same thing. And it starts with your emergency fund, like we said, and then it goes into your 401k and it says, go up to the company match. Well, yeah, that's smart. So far they're 2 for 2. And in the military, this, instead of 401k, it's your thrift savings plan. And at a minimum, you go to the company match, which is 5%. 5% or more is where you're always contributing. But then the typical waterfall just falls apart. The next, especially when it comes to the military. So, you know, the next one down will be a health savings account. Health savings account, once you're out of the military, by all means, see if you can qualify for this. But while you're in the military, because you get TRICARE, you don't qualify. And the reason is the health savings account is this like triple whammy, you know, golden ticket, in that you can contribute as a single person up to like $4,150 a year to it. Deduct that from your taxes. So you're going to save, you know, anywhere from like $500 to $1,000 in income tax. And then you invest it just like your TSP, you invest in like the C fund and stocks. In your HSA, you invest it in stocks and this money grows and grows and grows. And then each year you get to roll it over and add another $4,150 to it. And if you ever have a major health expense, you can pull that money out and not pay any tax or penalty. And that's the double, you know, right now that's like keyholing, right? Like you've deducted tax up front and now you don't pay taxes or penalties when you take it out. But the third benefit of the HSA is once you hit retirement age, 65, I believe, because then you get to go on to Medicare, you can take the HSA and you can roll it into your retirement account. And now you have like a Roth, you know, IRA, and you just roll it into there. And now you have, if you've been saving $4,000 a year for 20 years and it's been growing in the stock market, you know, you might have like an extra $200,000 of retirement savings. So HSA, it's good if you're not in the military. In the military, you don't qualify. If you're getting out soon or if you're a veteran, by all means, see if you can qualify. It depends on like your TRICARE coverage and other VA coverage that you might have. But then the waterfall after that, just, this is where it just totally breaks down, right? It's like max out your 401k. So it's max out your thrift savings plan. Then max out your individual retirement account, your IRA. Then it's max out your 529 college savings up to the annual gift limit, which is $18,000 for 2024. And I should say that, you know, the max that you can contribute to the thrift savings plan as a payroll contribution is $23,000 in 2024. And the max you can put in IRA is $7,000 in 2024. The max HSA is $4,150 in 2024. And then you can contribute up to $18,000 to a 529 college savings plan, which is, in theory, you can put $500,000 in there, but you're going to pay a lot of tax on that. But $18,000, you can take advantage. You know, and then the waterfall says you can contribute even more to your 401k, which is true because actually, so long as you're okay with, you know, paying taxes on the income and not getting any deduction or any benefit from it, you can put up to $69,000 a year in your thrift savings plan minus the service match, right? So essentially in this, and then only after that, they say your after tax savings, right? Only at the very bottom, after you've maxed out all of these special accounts, for medical care, for future education expenses, and for retirement accounts, only then do they say, okay, now save for other stuff. Save for, you know, an investment account in Robinhood, save for buying a new car, buying a dream house, or just save money that you can invest and generate income for early retirement, right? That's at the very bottom. But here's the problem is that you would, if you did this standard, you know, order of operations, you would be saving over $75,000 before you even got to the last bucket or the bottom of the waterfall where it's like, okay, now you can save for fun stuff right now. I mean, you don't even make that much money until you're like a major, right? So, you know, obviously if you have BAH, like a sergeant or like a lieutenant starts to get close to that, you know, kind of hit around the 75,000 with BAH, but just from your base pay in the military, like 95%, you know, 90% of the military doesn't even make 75K to save for all this stuff. And so you're basically, it's totally impractical. And besides, you don't need it, right? If you have cash savings and you have a brokerage with Schwab or Fidelity or, you know, Robinhood, you can take that money and you can use it for health expenses, for future college or educational expenses. You can even use it once you're retired, because all that money that you have invested gets taxed as, it gets counted, the profits on it get counted as capital gains. And capital gains are taxed less than income, right? And there's even a 0% capital gains tax bracket. So like the military savings waterfall or our military savings order of operations is a lot simpler. You know, it's step one, you save for your emergency fund until you hit your goal. Once you're done and you've hit your goal, you don't need to save anymore. So if your goal is 10,000, save up to 10,000. You could do that for a little over $800 a month in a year. Or maybe you take 2 years to get there and you just save about 400 for it. Maybe you know, if you've still got time to react, the smart move is to take your signing bonus or incentive and just put, you know, or maybe like a career starter loan, you know, if you're coming from a service academy, and just put some of that into a high yield savings account. And that now your emergency savings fund is fully funded. And the good thing is, you know, especially if you're, for those of you who have a career starter loan who are getting that at like 1 to 1.25% interest, well, if you put the money in a high yield savings account that's earning 4 or 5% interest, it's going to outpace the interest you owe, you know, so you're going to end up with extra. But once you're done with that, you know, you are saving in your thrift savings plan and you go first up to the company match, so up to 5%, like that's your bottom. And then if you have extra money in your budget, you might not at first, right? One of your first things you might be struggling to do is get through debt and pay off credit cards, finally pay off an auto loan and fix your cash flow. So maybe you can only save 5%. But once you have extra money coming in, then save up to the optimum, the correct amount for retirement. And that's, you know, it's about $550 to $600, officer enlisted, that much each month. If you save that much each month for 20 years, you're going to be a multimillionaire in your thrift savings plan by retirement. And that's it. You don't need to max it out. That comes out to about you know, $7,000 a year that you're saving for retirement. Remember, we said the thrift savings plan, you can have up to $23,000 a year deducted from your paycheck and put into the thrift savings plan. Plus, you can save up to $7,000 a year into your individual retirement account, your IRA, if you have one. That's $30,000 that you could save for retirement each year if you have the cash flow. And what I'm telling you is, you don't need to save more than about $7,000, because that gets reinforced with the match you get under the blended retirement system from your service. And over the course of 20 years, you end up averaging about $10,000 to $11,000 a year that you're saving. And 20 years worth of savings at that rate is all you need, right? That's all you need to do. And that means that, you know, once your emergency fund is funded, hopefully with your enlistment bonus, some incentive pay, maybe some deployment money, or a career starter loan, something like that, every rank, every pay grade in the military can afford $550 to $600 a month into a retirement account. That's less than 30% of an E1's paycheck, base pay, right? So everybody can afford it, and you don't need to go above it. And that means, after that, all the additional money that you are able to save is going into a cash fund for buying a car, a cash fund for buying your first house, an investment account, a brokerage account to invest in the stock market and build wealth, you know, either just for the sake of building wealth or for future medical expenses, college fund, like whatever, you know, like rather than tying it all up in all these special funds and special accounts that are specific for one thing, like an HSA is for health, 529 is for education. You can just save after that, you have met that threshold, that 550 to 600 a month into your TSP, $7,000 a year. Every other additional penny you save, cash and after-tax investments. And that's going to start building your wealth right now, and it's going to help you start to afford all the goals and all the things you want in life right now. And so that's it. That's the military savings order of operations. It's pretty simple, and it doesn't have to, you know, saving money doesn't have to be complicated. If you just do that emergency fund, $7,000 for retirement, and then all your other goals. It's simple. It's a tap rack bang for your money. It's going to help you build wealth really quickly. So, all right, that's, you know, we just hit 30 minutes. That's 5 minutes longer than I wanted to go this week. So I'm going to cut myself off. I've really enjoyed this topic. I hope that I get some engagement. Would love to get questions. If you have questions, you know, you can just, however, you know, DM me on social media, TikTok or Facebook or Instagram. You can find us at MWC112358 or our Facebook page is Military Wealth Coach. Or you can look us up online, militarywealthcoach.com, and send us a message there. We'd love to get the feedback, and hopefully we can take some of those questions and turn them into some live Q&A shows and get some folks on the line. And next week, I think what we'll do next week is we'll talk again about emergency savings, because that's number one in your military savings order of operation. You got to do it. So that's what we'll hit up next week. And we're going to release these, as always, we're going to release them Sunday night. So, you know, set the reminder in your phone and Google Calendar or whatever you use to download the podcast Sunday night or Monday morning before you leave the house and give it a listen on your drive into work to get your mind right for the week, and so that you can stay financially fit and mission ready.